What's up, family? Welcome to The Manhood. We are back for another episode. The Manhood is a place where you can come and hear things to help you get your life together. Primarily for men. But this is also, you know, the space where, you know, it's just an opportunity for, or a format for Clifton Brantley to, that's me, by the way, Clifton Brantley to share his thoughts and be a blessing to the body. So that's what I intend to do. Listen, today, what I want to share with y'all today, man, listen, I believe it's going to be a blessing for you because it blessed me. Okay. Now, this is not the after church series. Although I am going to share something with you from the Bible, I want you to be encouraged. But the way that I want you to be encouraged, I want you to remember something. Okay. So God said in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. I think people miss the significance of a perfect God, a perfect all-powerful God saying, oh, that's not good right there. That's not good. Like if God says something and not is not good, that carries a lot of weight. He said it's not good for man to be alone. Now, you know, that was marriage, Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. I get it. But also the implication is like we humans are just not designed to do life alone, period. Right? Over in the New Testament, the Bible says this. I was talking to a young lady yesterday and she was like, you know, I know if I'm going through this, then God must believe I can handle it. I said, no, that's not true. Right? I said, that's a myth. That's what we think scripture says, but the Bible does not say that God will never put more on you than you can bear. Right? Because if he did, if that's the case, then the scripture where it says, bear one another's burdens don't make sense. Why need you to help me bear my burdens if I can handle it? So to me, that's proof. Sometimes life is going to be overwhelming for you. And so God has to put in a commandment to help each other bear one another's burdens. Right. So you're not designed to do life alone. But if you've been listening for a while, you probably know my story. I've done the majority of my life without quality relationships. Right. I showed up to adulthood. Not only just adulthood, because that's 18. I showed up to the age of 50 without many healthy and quality relationships. Right. And that has negatively affected my life in so many ways. But what I want to share with you is how God uses people when you may be thinking like I was thinking, no, I need God to encourage me. I need God to move in my life. I need God to do such and such. And he does. But what we need to understand, or should I say what we need to remember as believers, as men of God, God primarily, not only, but God primarily uses human agents on the earth to bless you. Whatever the blessing is, mostly God uses other human beings to bless you. Now, here's the thing. Because he's God, he can use your friends or your enemies. It doesn't, he's not limited to encouraging your enemy, your friends to do whatever, but he can make your enemies encourage you. So I've been in therapy. I got a new therapist since October. Been working through some things, right? And so the last time I met with him, well, actually the time before last when I met with him, at the end of the session, he was like, you know, well, maybe we need to work on some more self-esteem stuff, right? And I was like, okay, well, that makes sense to me. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm a regular human being. You're not listening to an AI. This is a regular human being with flesh and blood, which means I had a childhood, which also means I was raised by regular human beings, which means they were flawed, which means I had issues coming out of childhood, which also means because you hear me, I'm not a spirit, so I'm not perfect. I'm still on earth. And I know that at the root of most of our dysfunction, most of the chaos that we allow into our lives or that we invite is rooted in identity issues, i.e. self-esteem. So when he said that, I wasn't thrown off. Like, you may think that's an elementary thing. Now, your issue at the core is probably self-esteem too, but you're labeling it something else. Like, you're labeling it, I just need more faith, or I need to trust God more, or I just need to be more disciplined. All that may be true, but the reason why that fruit can't be produced might be because your heart, which I call the roots, your heart may be tainted from unresolved childhood stuff, right? So he says, you know, we may have to do some not infidelity, Lord, thank you. We have to do some self-esteem stuff. So I'm like, okay, cool. So when I come back for the next session, we're talking through things, and I'm sharing with him some of the things that I've been through. So what was frustrating me, so after that, we come back. The thing that frustrated me in between sessions is this. I have knowledge. Like, I know how to get out of the sunken place. I know how to avoid the sunken place. Now, the sunken place is the emotional, chaotic, painful place that we find ourselves in sometimes when we're stuck in our head or spinning out of control or whatever. I call that the sunken place. I know how to avoid that place, and I know how to get out of there. Like, I know how to encourage myself. One time when David was the men that was following him, they wanted to kill him because all of the women and children, everything got taken away by the enemy. The Bible says that David had to encourage himself. And a lot of times we think that that's the only way. Like, I'm supposed to be self-sufficient enough to where all I need is me and God. That's anti-scripture. Okay? That's anti-scripture. Stop trying to be a super Christian. As a matter of fact, as believers, we are supposed to depend on one another. It's so interdependence, not dependent, not independent, but interdependent, right? We depend on each other for certain things, and then we stand on our 2 feet for other things, okay? But so I'm in the session, and we're talking, and what he tells me is, like, man, you can't see you. Because he asked me, why? What's good about you? Like, why should people like you? Why do people like you? And I named a couple of things. And then I said, and then all the rest of the stuff about me, that's not even that important. And he stopped me. He said, I don't like that. He said, all that stuff that you poo-pooing on, that's who you are. And that's the stuff that you need to learn how to value. So I got an assignment for you. He says, go talk to everybody you know and ask them, what are the characteristics that they like about you or admire about you? And so I said, okay. So I went and did that. And I wasn't expecting for it to be the way that it was. So I've asked a few people, but only so far, two of my friends have given me feedback, right? And so I'm going to read a little bit of some of the things that they said, you know, when I asked about these characteristics. Now, anyway, let me just read it. I don't even want to give a disclaimer. Here one friend said, you are disciplined, dedicated, tenacious, creative, driven, open-minded, unbiased, caring, provider, smart, godly teacher, preacher, great friend, transparent, resilient, passionate, love for Christ, sense of humor, intelligent, empathetic nature, confident. After I read this, you know what happened? It was written all over my face. It was a smile. It just automatically showed up. And here's the thing. And this is what made me want to talk to you. This is not that deep, by the way. I was going to say FYI. It's probably not that deep, but hopefully it'll bless somebody. Because I just decided to do this episode when I read what they wrote and then how it automatically created a smile on my face, because the place where I am specifically today, the smiles I knew were going to be few and far between. Because literally today, remember I said I know how to avoid the sunken place and stay out of it? I was doing that. That's what I was doing. I was doing that work to make sure I don't fall down the slippery slope of the sunken place. But when I got this, it encouraged me. And the reason it encouraged me, because some of these things I already think about me. But as you're doing life, like, you may think a certain thing about you, But if it's not reaffirmed on the outside of you, you may not know. Like, for example, you may think that you have the best cake in Houston, Texas. You love the cake. Oh, man, every time you eat the cake, you just in heaven, right? So the cake is amazing. And let's say you have a cake store. So you created a new cake. So you put this cake out and nobody eats the cake. Now it's been 6 months. You believe the cake is great. But if at some point somebody else doesn't validate that this cake is amazing, you're going to stop believing that the cake is amazing. You understand what I'm saying? That's just human nature, right? And I'm not saying it happens that way 100% of the time, but I'm saying that's what's going to happen if you don't interrupt the process, right? If you don't jump in and say, hey, nah, it's something deeper. But you believing that you're a man of God, you believing that you walk by faith, you believing that you are resilient, committed, and passionate, whatever that is, at a certain level, you're going to start to doubt that if you don't have some reassurances. And I believe, now this is what I believe, that reassurance needs to come from God and. Yeah, I think it needs to come from God and. Now, whether or not it needs to come from God and 100% of the times, I can't say that because I haven't done research. But I believe that encouragement needs to come from God and your fellow believers. Or let me change that, because it don't have to be fellow believers. It can just be other human beings. My point is, we need humans. OK, and so the thing that I want to encourage you with is to stop, because your life may not be like mine, where like I at a certain level, I don't have a choice whether or not I'm going to share my wins with somebody, or if I'm going to, you know, like I don't have those people in my life. But a lot of you do. And you're choosing to be isolated. You're choosing to fight your battles by yourself. You're choosing to constantly encourage yourself with no outside encouragement. And what I'm telling you is, when you pray, God may send you somebody to encourage you. Yes, he'll send you to his word. And I'm in God's word every day. But the assignment that I did today, when my friends spoke from their perspective, how they saw me, it made me feel good because they validated what I thought about me. Dang, okay. So I thought I was this person. I am glad and grateful that that's what's coming across. Right now. So when I thought about this, what made me want to share with you, I'm like, man, now, is there a story in scripture where, because see, here's the thing. We super Christians, I'm not a super Christian, but y'all are. Super Christians tend to think it's God and God alone. Like, I just got to have faith. I just, you know, I can't be afraid, right? I got to have faith. And the thing is, the Bible does tell us God has not given us spirit of fear. The Bible does tell us God told Joshua, don't be afraid, be strong and courageous because I'm with you, right? The Bible does tell us to operate that way. But what also we see in scripture is God still using the flawed, afraid, prideful, broken people. Right? The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. That brother was a murderer. But the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart because God said, David will do whatever I tell him to do. Right? And my point is this. Don't try to be a super Christian without other believers. Right? So I thought about the story of Gideon. And I like the story of Gideon because it reminds me, first of all, it's just good teaching. Right. If you want to talk about fear and you can go to Moses and in that conversation that he has with God at the burning bush, and you can go to Gideon. Now, there are probably some other places, but these are my two favorite places to go when God deals with doubt and faith. Right. I mean, doubt and fear. OK, so if you don't know the story, it's in the book of Judges, starting around chapter 6. God told Gideon, you know, God shows up, say, mighty man of valor, I've called you to deliver Israel. And Gideon was like, you must be talking about Gideon Jones. I'm Gideon Johnson. That, like, you can't be talking about me. God says, no, I'm talking about you. Gideon says, I'm the least in my family. I'm the shortest. I'm the weakest. I'm slow. One of my eyes don't work. Like, I can't see, right? I can see, but barely. You know, I'm blind. I'm legally blind in one eye. POP, hold it down. Like, God says, Gideon, I've already called you. Be strong. So anyway, that was silly. He goes and he tests God. That's crazy. That's one of the craziest things to me in the Bible, that God allowed himself to be tested. Right. And I believe that was Jesus that he was talking to, because the Bible calls him the spirit, the angel of the Lord, which is typically Jesus in the Old Testament. At least that's what we believe. But he tests God and God allows him to. Because Gideon has this self-doubt, he has this fear. But here's the thing. God does not withdraw his call, because he didn't call you in the first place because of you. He told Jeremiah that. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you. Before you ever did anything good or bad on the planet, I had already called you. Right. So I believe that's true for all of us. So here, Gideon, when he's calling Gideon at this particular time, Gideon, the fact that you've had the kind of life that has made you believe something different about you than what God has said about you, does not disqualify you from the assignment that God has for you. So Gideon, mighty man of valor, I'm calling you. Must not be me. Gideon tests him. And then Gideon says, OK. Must be God. I'll go. But he still had some doubt, right? So Gideon's going to go fight the Midianites. Now, here's where I'm going to start reading. This is Judges chapter 7, starting at verse 9. All right. This is what I believe God. So what I want to show you is how God uses human beings to encourage you. Now, these human beings aren't even his friends. But let me just read it. That night, the Lord said, get up, go down to the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So Gideon took Purah and went down to the edge of the enemy camp. Whose camp? The enemy camp. Let's jump down to verse 13. Gideon crept up as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down in the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. Now, that dream don't sound that deep to me. As a matter of fact, it sounds crazy. But God is at work, because in verse 14, it says this. His companion answered, your dream can only mean one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies. Where did he get that from? He got it from God. So now, why didn't God just encourage Gideon again? I mean, he's God. When I say he's God, I'm talking about he's sovereign. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He's all present. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He can do anything. Why did he need somebody else to encourage Gideon after the supreme being has already told him to go? Because God designed us to be able to be influenced by other believers. And that is another reason it is not good for man to be alone. So God tells Gideon. And also, too, you know what this shows? Here's a little side note for you. What this really shows is that God understands in a way that you may not believe or understand that he understands. Right? God knew, and you can see this all throughout scripture, but God knew Gideon was still afraid, but God wasn't going to change his call, just like he didn't change it with Moses. Moses tried to get out of leading the children of Israel. Like, that brother was ducking and dodging. God said, no, I called you. And isn't it amazing that God in his sovereignty would call you for your benefit. Now, you may not think it's for your benefit because you're like, man, this is a lot of heavy lifting I got to do. I promise you, it's for your benefit because he could have not called you. That's such a blessing that God would call you. But anyway, so he calls Gideon. Oh, I was talking about the understanding piece, right? And I say all throughout scripture. Y'all remember the woman who got caught in the act of adultery in the New Testament? And they brought her to Jesus, right? Why didn't Jesus condemn her? I believe this part's not in scripture, right? But I believe it's because he knew her heart. He understood her condition, just like the woman at the well. He didn't condemn her either, right? He never condoned sin. He never condoned Moses or Gideon's fear. But he also did not disqualify them. He understood. So I believe God in his understanding, even though he is so, the Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, so are my ways different from yours. So God is not like us, even though we were created in his image. But still, here he is understanding the plight of this human being. God is not like, man, look, I am God. Do you understand who I am? What are you afraid of? Like, you can't lose the battle with me on your side. Go fight. God didn't do that. He didn't do that. He said, look, I want you to go attack. But if you are still afraid, go down to the camp. Since you don't believe my word directly from me, go down to the camp and I'm going to send you the word through your enemies, because it was God who gave the enemy the word that Gideon would eventually hear to encourage him. Listen, fellas, all I'm saying is sometimes you need somebody else to speak into your life, right? Sometimes you need someone else to validate the fact that, because a lot of times in your marriage, you may only hear the negative, right? You may not get praise for the good that you do. You may only hear how you're failing and how you're messing up. And after a while, you think, man, am I any good at all? It's just a discouragement thing. It doesn't change who you are. But the reason why you want to be encouraged, because, and by the way, when I say encourage, I mean to put courage in. To encourage is because without courage, you can't conquer fear. Courage is not the conquest of fear. It's not the absence of fear. It's the conquest of fear. Like, so soldiers will tell you when they go on the battle, they're afraid. But courage doesn't give in to the fear. So the fear doesn't go away. Courage just says, we got to do it anyhow. And what I'm trying to tell you, see, when the enemy is coming at you and he's coming at you sideways, the your first instinct may be to run. Your first instinct may be to hide. But what I'm telling you is that God wants you to stay and fight. And if you need to be encouraged, God will put people in your life to encourage you. But what I'm saying is I'm giving you an assignment like my therapist gave me. Go ask the folk around you, the folk you trust, the folk you know who love you. Don't ask your coworker who you're always fighting with. You know that you already know what they think. If you and your wife are not on good terms and y'all at odds, don't ask her. Not for this assignment, right? We're trying to be encouraged. Go ask the folk who love you. Why? What is it about me that you admire or like? And let them tell you and let that encourage you. Because the thing you don't want to do is get caught on the blind side of discouragement and you don't want to get stuck in a sunken place and you can't get out. And sometimes God has already ordained people, just like in Gideon's situation. God has already ordained people to be the blessing that you need, and they don't even believe what you believe, right? The Midianites weren't, how did the Midianites even know who God was? I mean, I know they've heard the rumors. They probably heard about the Red Sea and different things like that. But my point is, the guy who interpreted the dream, that came from God, and it was for Gideon. It wasn't for the guy who had the dream, right? And so I want to encourage you. Strengthen your communities, meaning if you have quality relationships, invest in them, because you're going to get to a point in your life where you're going to need them to invest in you. I wish I had one witness right there that, yeah. If I was in church, amen would go right there. Because you need folk to help you be great. All right. I hope this encouraged. I hope it blessed you. Don't ever forget, God always has a plan. And even when you're in the midst of the valley, you may not can see him, but he can see you. It reminds me of a story real quick. When the disciples, after Jesus fed this multitude, told the disciples to get into the boat, go to the other side. I'm gonna meet up with y'all. He went to pray. And then the Bible says, as it was late, Jesus saw them straining at the oars, meaning they were in the midst of a storm and they were straining. Now watch this. They couldn't see Jesus. They did not know Jesus was watching them, but he was, right? And so sometimes when you're going through life and you're struggling, it feels like God is absent. I'm telling you, that's not true. It's not possible for it to be true, first of all. Right. If God stops being around, the whole world changes. Nothing good on the planet can happen if God removes his spirit. Right. So the fact that the sun is still shining every day is proof that God is still on the throne, which means he can help you through whatever you try, whatever you need help with. Right. But when you're straining at the oars and you feel like he's not there, rest assured he is. That's when your faith kicks in. It's not about what you feel, but what you faith. Okay. And so I want you guys to be encouraged with that, because God has a plan for your life. And if you get stuck in your head and you're, you know, battling fear and pride and all this and discouragement, right? There's only so much you're going to be able to do for God discouraged. And it won't be much at all. Won't be much at all. Okay. So anyway, hope this blessed you. You guys take care. I will, next time, I want to share something with you about love that I don't think I've shared before. Okay. So hopefully, you'll stay tuned and we're going to talk about love. All right. Y'all take care.